Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Friday, September 8th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, it's great to be here another Friday, and oh, mercy, what a weekend we face in some parts of this country, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. There's so many other things that are going on that's pretty much being ignored, but we're going to try and talk about them today. But first, let's get to the market report today. Gold, a little pressure, 180, not much, 1,347. Silver was down 12 cents today at 1,808. Platinum was down 9 at 1,012. And palladium took a beating today, and I figured it was palladium that probably drew down the whole sector. I mean, it was down over 3%, down $29 at $932. So, I mean, personally, I believe palladium is overpriced. I'd be a seller at this level. So maybe just a lot of people thought it was also a good time to sell some palladium and get into gold would probably be a better trade. So any of you folks out there holding any palladium, I'd be selling it and putting it into gold or silver. USDX today was down 0.22, another drop for the dollar, 91.32. And you have crude oil, which is kind of interesting. Any other time in our history of this country, you'd have, you know, three hurricanes within a month or within a week of one another. You'd see crude oil prices sharply higher, but it's down today 1.57 at 47.52. And the paper markets today, no one cares. Dow up 13 points, 21,798. The NASDAQ was down 37 points at 6,360. The S&P was down 3 at 24.61. 24.61. 2,461. The 10-year yield, 2.06%. And, of course, the euro was stronger on 120. European markets basically unchanged. And it's kind of like everyone is on hold. Everyone is holding their breath to see what type of damages we might face this weekend with, or at least the East Coast, mainly Florida, with Hurricane Irma. They're looking for a direct hit. Miami's in the bullseye. And this is actually one of the largest mass exoduses in a nation's history. There's about over 4 million expected to lose power. And they're talking about power could be out for days, weeks, and even months. And then you have Jose barreling down right behind it. Jose was actually a Category 4, strengthened to a Category 4. But they are expecting that from what I watched, seen on the, you know, cone, their computer models and so forth, looks like it might, you know, weaken considerably as it fingers crossed, it goes out to sea, it goes out to the ocean. They're saying that actually Hurricane Irma and the way that's being positioned will keep Jose from coming in, but until it's over, we really don't know. And naturally, there's all kinds of reasons why we're seeing these hurricanes hit where they are, and the strength that they're being hit with. I'm not gonna, you know, make comments either way on that. As people are more likely to believe that it's, you know, coming from HAARP than it's just a natural God occurrence. Maybe God is a little ticked off at what's going on in this country, and maybe he's the one that's bringing this. So, you know, pick your poison, pick your pen, and you can debate it both. You can debate both situations very, very easily. But the key thing, people, and we have lots of clients and listeners in that territory down there in Florida. So, highly unlikely they're listening to the program now. And if you are, I hope you're secure. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers are going to be with you this weekend and wherever else Irma might go. It could even come over to the East Coast here up in Maryland where I'm at, so we'll have to see what where it goes. But a lot of weird things going on. You have hurricanes, you have earthquakes out, 8.1 in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
With those special green lights after the earthquake, which apparently is not, it's very strange. I mean, it's strange to see, but it's apparently not all that unusual.
I would think it would be gas.
When earthquake, no, it's not gas. It's some kind of light in the atmosphere. It's something like the aurora borealis, right? It's a kind of light energy, apparently, that's emanating from the earthquake up into the aurora borealis, or from the aurora borealis, the ionosphere, down to the earthquake. And it's been recorded for, I guess, a couple of centuries. It's not a new situation. It's not sinister, per se, or at least it's not believed to be, but still strange.
Yeah, they said it might be.
You get an earthquake and you get a special lighting to support that earthquake. There is some, just, good Lord. I mean, we have physicists and geologists who claim to know, and people who, astrophysicists who know something about what's going on in outer space and how maybe the aurora borealis works, and yet we have earthquakes that generate light in the sky. And nobody seems to know why.
Some say it could be caused by electrical transformers or small explosions near the site of a quake. And what's interesting, you're right, here they can't figure out what it is and why it's causing it, but yet they have all the science on global warming.
Yeah, right. We've got that.
We've got that down.
You can trust us on that one.
Trust us on that.
All right.
But there was a scientific paper that suggested that charged atoms near the surface of the Earth may be behind this, ionizing pockets of air which form light-emitting plasma. So, obvious several reasons, you know, several suggestions and so forth. But yeah, you kind of wonder. And I believe there was also Japan, I think, had a earthquake. And I know I've talked to a lot of my clients, and you know, and no one's focusing on any of the fires that's happening up in the north.
Oregon.
You have them in Montana, mm-hmm. Idaho, Oregon, LA is burning. And we do a radio show, KMET, in California. And when I was talking to the producer not too long ago, he was telling me it's so hot. And if everybody remembers, San Francisco actually recorded 106 temperature, the highest ever recorded. He says, what's interesting, he says, when you have these really hot temperatures, he says, if you go back and look at some of the earthquakes, he says, you'll have a very similar temperature pattern, extremely higher than normal temperatures. And and I've heard, talk to a client in Idaho, he's telling me the same thing. I mean, they're expecting, you know, they feel tremors and so forth. So, Mother Earth is rebelling.
Yep.
I don't like to say Mother Earth, but so a lot of strange things going on. And you know what? We talk about the unwinding of our financial system. We talk about, you know, all the leaves and the breeze, the 2x4s that are coming, you know, in those breezes and so forth. And it seems like when they do unwind, it's like you get all these things happening all at once. Things that you probably wouldn't think possible could happen all at once or at the same time. Maybe it seems that way because we have more access to news. You know, we're constantly searching the internet for various news, so it might seem that way. But hurricanes would have been in the news. Earthquakes would have been in the news anyway. And but you see a lot of, you have the dollar falling, you have bizarre things going on, and it seems to always happen. I mean, heck, you had Kansas City beat the Patriots, right?
Curiouser.
Yeah. So, anyway, Lois Lerner, remember her? And I can't
remember the name, and I can't place it. What was she famous for?
And not Superman's girlfriend. That was Lois. What was her name?
Lois Lane.
Good, Al. I was testing your memory.
I know about comic books. I studied them intently back in the day.
I was just checking. I was just checking to see if you could remember that, you know. But Lois Lerner, she was the one that was head of the IRS.
Oh, yeah.
And she is not going to be charged for her involvement in the scandal.
Targeting Republicans and conservatives.
Yeah. And this was, I can't bring up, we'll have to talk about that here in a little bit for some reason. My silly computer is just not allowing me to have access to that article.
See, there's another one.
It is.
Another one of the curiosities. This is all part of some sort of a nefarious plan.
I think so. I think so. From the IRS. But, you know, it's just another thing that it's kind of sad because during a previous campaign, a recent campaign, we heard all about, you know, lock her up, lock her up. We heard chants and, you know, we're going to go after her. And then shortly thereafter, we hear, oh, the Clintons are a fine family. And now here is really someone who did something. There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason she shouldn't be held accountable.
Oh, that's what you say, Melody. But I'll guarantee you she knows a lot about a lot of people, many of whom are probably in the Senate and or the House of Representatives. And she has probably made it abundantly clear that if you people come after me, I'm going to blow the whistle on all your crooks in the White House and the Congress and the Senate. How about that? Or maybe even blow the whistle on the courts. I mean, she's probably in a position to have a lot of interesting information if she cared to reveal it. And there will be a lot of people who say, why don't we let her go? Because if we prosecute her, she's going to say something about me. We don't want that.
You know what? That's kind of draining the swamp. And it doesn't seem that that's what's
going to happen.
You know
what it is? It's like pulling the water out of the bottom of the boat, or it's like drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat to let the water out. Right? That's how we're draining the swamp. And what's actually happening, we're finding out that there is a lot of swamp water out there, and you got a little bucket, and you're trying to bail out the okie-finokie, and it's not working well. And you can kind of, I laugh about it, I joke about it in some regards, but it makes me wince. It's just evidence that there is a pervasive level of corruption in our government. We shouldn't be letting Lois Lerner walk.
No.
Right? Or Hillary or Bill. Right? There are plenty of senators and congressmen and whatever who are guilty of significant offenses. And all we do is we just bury it and the government doesn't expose that. If we got some poor person who does something, we'll never hear the end of that. But if you hear people in positions of power, people that are wealthy, it's not as common. I won't say it never happens. I can't say it never happens. And it's certainly, it's the sort of thing that has to be evidence of corruption because it is bound to make people angry. Some people, they hear about this, Lois Lerner's not being prosecuted, it will change their perspective. It will maybe not change their perspective, but it will strengthen their perspective. They'll say government is nothing but a bunch of crooks. And Lois Lerner is the proof of that. It's bad politics to let people in positions of power skate. It has to make the American people angry. The Congress and the Senate and the politicians are better. Yeah, they'll be angry for the next, until the next edition of Dancing with the Stars comes on, and then it'll all blow over. Well, maybe that's true, but I still think there is a residual animosity that's building where the public is angry about this. Why won't they obey the law? And why should we respect them? And why should we, follow, though they're going to write a law? Oh, big deal.
You know what, Al? They don't want to follow the law. That's one thing. But if they don't follow the law, put their butts in jail. Make them accountable. And that's the problem. They're never held accountable.
And this is where the whole system works together. This is what Trump is confronting when he's allegedly locking horns with the deep state. The deep state includes the Attorney General of the United States, and maybe not the particular Attorney General we have right now, but much of the staff. They're there forever. All right, doesn't matter who's running the show. The people that are there forever or for a long time, they are frequently part of this deep state. That's at the Attorney General's office, the Department of Justice, the Congress, the Senate, the White House. This problem is pervasive, and they will protect the governmental system. And they don't care about the American people, and they certainly don't care about the Constitution. That's just an impediment. And I don't know, what are you going to do about it? I don't mean to sound like we're helpless, but really it does require some, it requires effort. It requires effort, and it requires numbers to get enough people to stand up and say, stop it, or we're going to get you, you know, and make them believe it.
Well, it should be, they shouldn't be reelected, number one. That's the easiest thing to do. How do these people get reelected? I don't care how much money you have.
Well, you contract Vladimir Putin. You get him to fix the election for you.
I mean, how do you get this career politicians that are in there for 30 years?
You call Putin Electoral Services at 1-800-555-1212.
Oh, sometimes. Well, you know, we were talking about the hurricane, and the Florida insurance stocks are getting crushed. You wouldn't know it by the stock market, but they are getting crushed. Florida property insurance stocks have gotten hammered this week as Irma threatens to unleash catastrophic damage.
Yep.
You had Sunrise, Florida-based Federated National Holdings, which insures the high-value homes like condos and other properties. That's plummeted by 25% this week. Universal Insurance Holdings, the three leading writers of homeowners insurance in Florida, they're down nearly 20%. And big financial troubles are coming, folks, for these
insurance. Well, they anticipate big financial trouble. I mean, the insurance company is based on, they're gambling. They're playing the odds. They say, well, how likely is it? We could never have a Category 6 hurricane hit Miami. I mean, that's just impossible, so we don't have to insure against that. Well, we're having some statistical anomalies taking place, and big time. Hurricane Irma is one. Hurricane Katrina has been another one 5-8 years ago, but right now we're facing Harvey and Irma, and I wonder how many insurance companies are going to be put out of business?
And how many of them are going to be bailed out?
Possibly. Well, who's going to bail them out?
Yep.
I'm not sure that the government's got...
Hey, you can attach anything to the debt ceiling now. We'll just attach all of these losses to the debt ceiling.
Yeah, right. Might as well. Yeah, I got bills I'd like to... While you're at it, I've got some bills I'd like to attach also. Where do we sign up to have our bills paid off? Let's take a break. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's our next subject, Melody?
Well, prices are for gold and silver still pretty much like yesterday, so we're going to carry through the two specials that we carried yesterday, the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. That's 1/10. American Gold Eagle and 20 Silver Eagles. Those are 1 ounce Silver Eagles and include your shipping costs. You can buy 1 or 100 of these packages, and also the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. That was a very popular special. And, you know, for anyone who's buying 1 ounce gold bullion coins, I'd be paying the few dollars increase to get these Mint State 64 St. Gaudens. If all you have is gold bullion and you want to trade some of that gold bullion for some of these Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens, that would be a great trade also. Diversify a little bit. So great coins for $1,500 and the smaller package, $590. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And going into the break, we were talking about these insurance companies, and we already know that the flood insurance group, the federal flood insurance, they're broke. They got $25 billion they borrowed before Houston, before Harvey. So now we got this one coming along. So where's the money going to come from, folks? Where's the money going to come from? You have these insurance companies down in Florida. I mentioned two of them, but you have major national carriers. You got Travelers, Allstate, Chubb. They've all experienced losses in recent days. So if you were going to short these stocks, you should have done it a week ago when they first announced Irma. That would have been a good short. But again, how many are they going to remain solvent after these major, major losses?
I understand. And who's going to bail them out again? I'm not sure that the government can do it. I'm not sure that the government is prepared. I mean, if we had another event of the sort that started off the Great Recession, 2007, 2008, if that hit again, I don't know. Can the government borrow? It doesn't have the money to pay for it on its own. It doesn't have the revenue to pay for the problem. It had to borrow ultimately from the Federal Reserve during the Great Recession, because the Federal Reserve was the only entity that was willing to lend substantial amounts of money to the government.
And when we say the government, where are they going to borrow? Remember, it's the citizens, it's the taxpayers. Taxpayers, they can't go anywhere because the taxpayers don't have the money to pay it.
And they're probably not inclined in any case, but they don't mind. What they're going to try to do is borrow from some institution and will leave the bill for future taxpayers. They're not trying to get the money out of today's taxpayers per se.
Regardless,
they're trying to just leave the debt for the children and the grandchildren. And the presumption is, oh, yeah, they're young, they're dumb, they'll pay.
Well, a lot of that
debt, I wouldn't bet on it.
No, they don't have the money to.
Well, they're betting
they don't
that
have
things
a choice.
Will turn around. And
it's not like
10
they
years
have a choice.
From now, the young kids will settle them with the debt.
It's not like they have a choice. Oh, I'm not going to pay it. Oh, yes, I am going to pay it. No, they're not going to have a choice. The thing of it is, they don't have the money, period. They won't have the money. So none of this debt will get paid.
No, I know.
And they can't borrow.
Know,
because they can't borrow any. Huh?
The only thing they're concerned with right now is maintaining the illusion that the debt can and will be paid. And the way they maintain that illusion is by continuing to pay the interest payments on the existing debt.
Right.
And as we pointed out yesterday or the day before, Moody's has threatened to downgrade the government's credit rating from AAA down to AA plus or wherever they want to go with this. But if the government doesn't make its interest payments in October and November. And Moody's is not warning this by accident. That has to be a legitimate concern. They're saying, I don't think they're going to make the payments. Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but it's touch and go. That means the government can't even, not talking about paying the $20 trillion. Forget that. That's, nobody's even thinking about paying that. We're talking about paying the interest on $20 trillion in order to maintain the illusion that, oh, sure, we'll pay that $20 trillion one of these days. This is cause for concern for probably everyone who's got a pension, because at least a lot of pension funds are, the wealth of the pension fund is concentrated to a significant degree, frequently, maybe not always, but frequently, on in U.S. government bonds. When is it going to become apparent to everyone that the bonds can't be paid? The debt can't be paid. That means the bonds are worthless. That means, what is your pension fund worth if it's populated by U.S. treasuries? And what will, where will you get the money for your retirement, say, 5 or 10 years from now? Where's it coming from? You know, I mean, we have been painted into a corner, as we've been, said it earlier this week, but we are seeing something happening right now in this country where we are really just getting up to that edge and at least putting one hand and one foot over the side. You know, ha ha ha, look at me, get the, you know, take a selfie of me holding one foot out over the edge of the Grand Canyon and pretending, you know, joking around here, pretending I might fall in. It's dangerous business, and we're in there right now, and it's these hurricanes are not going to help us. They are only aggravating the situation. They aren't necessarily a decisive factor. But as vulnerable as we are right now, who can say what really, if the government can't even pay the interest on the debt, or at least there's a question. We're not saying they can't pay it. Maybe they will. Probably they will. But there's a question. Will they or won't they? Can they or can't they? If the government can't, and some people are concerned about this, people have reason to know. They understand what's happening here. If they are concerned about the possibility government can't even pay the interest on the loan, this is absolute evidence the government's broke. You know, it's just insolvent, again, using its MasterCard to pay off its Visa, to pay off its American Express, and looking to get a new and improved credit card to pay off the MasterCard. We need another credit card. Where are we going to get it? Federal Reserve credit? Is that what's going to get us through again, Melody?
Well, if they eliminate the debt ceiling, they'll have an American Express. Yeah. No limits.
There's an article from Newsweek where Robert Reich, he writes, who needs a debt ceiling anyway? And it says, congressional Democrats have pulled a fast one on Republicans by striking a deal with Trump to raise federal debt ceiling only until the end of the year. All right, only until the end of the year. We are in September right now. We got September, October, November, December. We're going to have a four-month deal. Isn't that a little bit odd? We're going to have significant problems if we don't increase the debt ceiling by the 29th of this month. Last I heard. Earlier I heard it was the 15th of the month. Last I heard it's the 29th of the month. All right, got to have it by the 29th of the month. All right, if we got to have it by the 29th of the month, let's do it for a year or two. Instead, we're going to do one for 4 months, 3.5 months. That's it. That's as much as we can do right now. All by itself, it raises questions. This will give them a bargaining leverage in December to strike a bigger bargain with Republicans. Democrats will agree to raise the debt ceiling, then in return for Republican cooperation on legalizing Dreamers. They are the unauthorized immigrants brought into the United States as children. making small but necessary fixes in the Affordable Care Act and other things Democrats seek. Raising the debt ceiling is always a political football used by whichever party is in the minority to extract concessions from the majority party on whom the majority or from the majority party's president. So what we're seeing right now, the Democrats, Trump made a great deal. Trump is going for the same thing they go for on a regular basis. The minority party comes up and says, let's make a deal with the opposing party's president. And most of the time, the opposing party president and or members of the opposing party go along with it. In an odd situation, the minority manages to control these debt ceiling debates or debacles, depending on how you look at it. The debt ceiling is how much the government is allowed to borrow. It shouldn't be a political football. It should be abolished. It serves absolutely no purpose. I don't think that's true. I don't think the debt ceiling serves no purpose. It started in 1917, and the purpose was to prevent the government from going too deeply into debt. All right? I think that's still a purpose for the debt ceiling, and we're seeing proof of that right now. And the government, for whatever reason they are acting, they can't not go into debt. They must go into debt. Right? There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong. It's one thing to say, okay, I'm going to go to my savings account and I'm going to pull out $100,000 and I'm going to spend it on this, that, or the other. Okay, that's one thing. It's another thing to say, I don't have the $100,000, but I think I can borrow it. It's two different things entirely. Which one is more responsible, to go into debt or to go into your savings to buy whatever it is you want to purchase? That debt is irresponsible, and our government has been persistently irresponsible, and the debt ceiling has slowed the rate of irresponsibility, but it hasn't stopped it. They just keep on elevating and elevating and elevating. It says when the debt ceiling was first adopted in 1917, it might have been a useful way to prevent a president from spending however much he wanted. But since 1974, when was 1974, Melody?
Several years ago.
3 years after they gave us a pure fiat currency. Since 1974, Congress has had a formal budget process to control spending and the taxes needed to finance it. What are you talking about? A formal budget process to control spending? All you can say about Congress is they haven't spent everything in the world. How controlled is our spending? And then what about the taxes needed to finance? We're not raising taxes enough to support everything. We're putting it off to future generations so as not to antagonize current taxpayers. Government doesn't want to lay all the burden of these taxes on you folks because they know you will wake up and you'll be angry and you'll say, I'm going to throw you out of office. And the congressman says, no, I don't want to go out of office, so let's leave this tax for your kids and your grandkids. And then none of us have to be inconvenienced. We'll just destroy our children's lives. The article continues. There's no reason for Congress to authorize borrowing for spending that Congress has already approved, especially when further failure to lift the debt ceiling would be so horrific. Now, they make an interesting point. Congress is not borrowing money under this debt ceiling, or at least part of this is not just so we can go further into debt. It's to pay for programs that have already been authorized. But to some degree, this is just playing catch-up, which is why most modern democracies don't have debt ceilings. In fact, last time I looked, there was only one other country in the world that had a debt ceiling. And it's true, virtually no other country has a debt ceiling except us and one small country like Latvia or something like that over in Europe. Even more basically, the nation's debt is a meaningless figure without reference to the size of the overall economy and the pace of economic growth. That is more nonsense by Mr. Reich. All right, the nation's debt is not a meaningless figure. All right, you can look at it. You can look at it from different perspectives and come to different conclusions, perhaps. But in the end, to say that it's a meaningless figure is absurd. After World War II, America's debt was larger than our entire gross domestic product, but we grew so much so fast in the 1950s and 60s that the debt kept shrinking in proportion. Today's debt, that is today to say today's reported debt, today's official debt, is about 77% of our total national product. The reason it's a problem is it's growing faster than the economy is growing. But we don't know for a fact I mean, John Williams at shadowstats.com has contended that the real national debt, he thinks it's up over $100 trillion, and Congressional Budget Office and James Kotlikoff, I believe the economist, Kotlikoff, they've calculated the real national debt, including all unfunded liabilities, over $200 trillion. We aren't going to pay this debt. $20 trillion may be the least of it, right? And they're saying, oh, it's not a problem. Or the author of this article is. He goes on, he says, what we ought to be focusing on is whether the how large the debt is in proportion to the economy. Fighting over whether or not to raise the debt ceiling is a meaningless and dangerous distraction, so abolish it. Well, they're going to probably abolish it. I don't doubt that'll happen. We're in one of two countries in the world that has a debt ceiling, so I don't doubt it's going to be abolished because it is a political problem. But once it's abolished, government will be able to go into as much debt as it wants to go into. Is that going to be a good thing for the American people? Or will that guarantee we're going to see some significant inflation? They're going to go into debt in order to get the cash from the Federal Reserve to inject into the economy, add more, increase the money supply, contribute to inflation. Don't have to account for it. No debt ceiling to contend with. Spend. Does that mean we'll be finally in the utopia that that our founding fathers always expected us to have? You know? And the answer is it can't be. We can't continue to go deeper and deeper into debt. There has to be a limit on it. And whether we encounter that limit this year, next year, 10 years from now, when we finally hit the limit, it's going to be a calamity. And we're going there because our government refuses to be responsible. And you could go further if you want. And we're going there because the people refuse to be responsible. We insist on our right to a free lunch. And insofar as we're going to vote for the politician who gives us the most stuff that we haven't earned, we're going to go to a bad ending. We can't go into debt. We've got to go into productivity. You know? We're going to have to start working our way out of this, and it won't happen easily. I mean, how are we going to train people to work, Melody? We've got a couple of generations of welfare people who don't know how to work. How will they be trained? And the answer is we're going to put them into real austerity. We're going to bust them down so badly in the context of an economic depression that everyone who has a job, if you're making a nickel an hour, you'll thank God for the job. And in the context of that pain and aggravation, we will learn once again how to work. We're going to take a break for a couple commercials. Be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival.
Well, you know what? Prior to the program, we were I saw a weird headline, and it talked about North Korea and Pyongyang. I guess the capital of North Korea looked like a ghost town. It was, I find this interesting, because where do you put 2.5 million people? Now, I get that in Florida, we know they're going somewhere, but there was this plane, it's a Singaporean pilot, took the video for a project, and the project was meant to show it from the kingdom from a different perspective. And despite the largest city in North Korea, as I mentioned, with a population of 2.5 million, it appears to be deserted. The footage has emerged, you know, with all these tensions, and people are taking notice to this. So I find it kind of interesting, too, that, you know, why would you have a city that looks deserted for, you know, no real purpose? So
there must be some purpose behind it.
And
but it's odd, and if the report is accurate, and there's not some misunderstanding about the video and the rest of that sort of thing, it is odd.
It is odd.
How do you make a city 2.5 million people appear to be inactive? Apparently, if I'm understanding what the report you're giving, there's nobody out in the street. There's
nobody
driving.
The street,
there's nobody on their bicycle. The rest of that sort of thing.
Cars.
There should be somebody standing there to direct traffic. There's something would be going on. Street vendors should be out there. And if we can believe the report, there's not. Where'd they all go?
But something, too, that I didn't know about was the U.S. is seeking U.N. permission to board North Korean ships. Now, this is Russia, of course, has, you know, voiced their opposition to this, and perhaps their opposition.
Board them where?
Pardon?
Board them where? Board them in the immediate vicinity of North Korea, or
yes,
board them off the west coast of California.
No, they want to be able to board their ships at sea.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, let me finish. What they're trying to do is what they wanted to do. The U.S. was pushing for a plan at the U.N. Security Council, not just to effectively ban all oil into North Korea, but with Russia's opposition that was basically killed, they also want permission to militarily enforce it. The resolution includes broad language allowing the U.S. Navy and Air Force to capture and board North Korean ships at sea and to use all necessary measures to force them to reveal if they are complying with the ban, and the ban is being no oil. So if they're carrying oil. So U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, she was looking for a boat by Monday. I guess it's coming Monday. And though the language within the bill about interdiction of North Korean ships is likely to be removed by the behest of both China and Russia, if the resolution is to survive at all. So
I wouldn't bet on it.
I think the point is, I mean, it looks like the U.S. is trying to really enforce some major sanctions and bans to North Korea. And it's kind of interesting that the vote's coming Monday. You find Korea's major city empty. Does it mean anything? Probably not.
If it's a true story, it must mean something. That's too surprising. If true, it is too surprising to just say that, gee, that's an anomaly. How odd is that? Some sort of a North Korean holiday or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, something odd is happening there. the thing that strikes me that's odd about your story with the city being about Trump wanting to board North Korean ships is he's asking permission from the UN to board these ships. Let me see if I understand this correctly. North Korea is threatening to nuke the United States, and the President of the United States is asking the United Nations for permission to board the North Korean ships. Is that what's going on here?
Well,
that strikes me as strange.
Well,
I mean, you would think that the President of the United States, if we're being threatened, look, we're boarding the ships, and if you don't like it, you know, we'll be happy. You send your Poseidon submarines out to meet ours. Oh, you don't have any? Well, then maybe you better just put it in park when we say, stop that ship. We're coming aboard.
Well, then
instead, we're asking permission from the UN, and it might be just politics, and it might be just the way the language used improperly, but I'm wondering, who's running this thing anyway?
Well, I mean, if you're going to go to war, and a major war with a country, you better hope that you have some backup, I suppose.
Well, you only need backup
like Russia,
if you're planning
China.
To invade. You only need backup if you're planning to invade.
That is an act of war.
What is? Stopping the ships?
Boarding them militarily is a recipe for a military confrontation.
So launching an ICBM above Japan.
That's
another one.
That.
We've got a lot of acts of war going on here, and
nobody's
pulled the pin yet on this hand grenade, but nevertheless, got a lot of people pushing for it.
It seems that way. So, you know, my point was, here's something interesting that has some sort of a decision coming on Monday, whether it's likely or not likely, where they're trying to force all oil out of North Korea, banning all oil. And so that's...
Well, that'll shut down their economy. I don't know how fast it'll shut down the economy, but it'll certainly put them under a lot of stress. In fact, it might even have something to do with why everybody's off the streets in Pyongyang. Maybe they just stopped, shut down the gas pumps. I'm being semi-facetious there, but who can say?
I know you are, Al.
Got another one here from Sovereign Man, and the headline is Goldman Sachs Warning.
Yeah.
And he points out that 4 out of the last 8 U.S. Treasury secretaries, including the current one, have formally been on the payroll of Goldman Sachs. 3 current Federal Reserve Bank presidents are Goldman Sachs alumni. The current president of the European Central Bank and the current head of the Bank of England are both former Goldman Sachs employees. The point is that Goldman Sachs is deeply embedded across the entire economy, nearly every major Western government, and the most important financial markets in the world. So when Goldman Sachs CEO says that financial markets are too expensive, it's probably time to start paying attention. This guy ought to know what he's talking about. And that's exactly what happened yesterday at the Handelsblatt Business Conference in Frankfurt, Germany. Goldman Sachs CEO told the audience bluntly that the world financial markets, quote, have been going up for too long. And it's true. Many major stock markets around the world are near all-time highs. Bond markets are near all-time highs. Property markets are near all-time highs. Insolvent governments that have a history of defaulting on their debts, like Argentina, are nevertheless able to borrow to issue bonds with maturity dates of 100 years at laughably small interest rates. Companies which perpetually lose money are seeing their stock prices soar to continual new heights. Interest rates in many parts of the world are still negative. The average length of the bull market is usually just over 5 years, but the current bull market has been going for 8.5 years. That makes the current bull market one of the longest in the history of financial markets. Little by little, a few prominent voices in finance, like Goldman Sachs, have started to express concerns about the state of financial markets. If these guys are telling the world that the market is overheated, you can probably bet they've already started selling their stocks, bonds, or whatever. You can bet that if Goldman Sachs is selling, you can bet that others investors will soon be following their lead. And if they do, the financial markets are about to suffer a significant decline. So what's the point? Well, we warn you about this stuff on a regular basis, and but here comes Goldman Sachs, and they're basically giving a similar warning. And all you can look at it and say, well, you know, that certainly sounds credible. I don't think we're being misled. He's just emphasizing, look, things are disproportionate. They're out of control. They're too big in the wrong direction. It's got to be stopped. It's going to be stopped. They're warning you. And you know, if you want to pay attention to that warning, now would be a good time to adjust your affairs to prepare for a significant decline in the stock markets. I've seen people predicting the 40-50% decline in the stock markets, and they're not predicting this as if it were something extraordinary that's never happened before. They point out this is actually fairly typical after a bull market ends. 40-50% correction. All right? Those of you that are invested in that bull market, you may want to rethink that. And in fact, I've got I have another article here, and I can't see exactly where it is. Maybe I don't even have it. Well, I just remember.
I just want to say this: when you have executives like these guys, yeah, I'm not a fan of them. They're all, you know, they're the problem. They create the problems. You know, they're the ones that continue to get wealthier and wealthier, the banks and so forth. So yeah, I'm absolutely no fan. Oh, these stupid videos that just play. But what I have a problem is, just like he's coming out making these announcements, just like Equifax. Everyone's probably heard about the Equifax, and you know they were breached. You know, millions and millions of
143 million Americans
files.
Equifax is one of the credit card.
It happened in July, but they announced it today. Yeah, and they announced it today. But guess who got to sell their shares before it tanked? You bet. The top three guys that run the place, they get to sell their shares before it tanks, and yet they knew since July. They didn't tell anybody else, you know, to where you could take care of your credit or anything like that. They had the position to do all the damage control first before they make the announcement, and then they make sure that they get to profit before they make the announcement.
Well, they had to make the announcement sooner or later, but there's no point in taking a loss just because you're required to tell the truth, Melody. You can tell the truth later.
If they told the
truth. After you've
protected
140... yourself, then you can tell the truth.
But no, it's the same thing with Goldman Sachs. Anybody else?
I understand. It's human nature.
They protect themselves.
It's human nature, but it can't be tolerated on that basis.
It's not human nature.
Especially, you know, given the opportunity to protect myself or sound the alarm, there's a good chance that I'd opt. Well, first I'll protect myself and then I'll sound the alarm. But at my level, what does that mean? Not a lot. All right? By the time I get protecting what I have, which isn't a great deal, I can sound the alarm. Nobody's going to be hurt. But people in positions of real power, there has to be some sort of regulation, restriction, and they should be required to sound the alarm as soon as it's reasonable, as soon as you find out. They have breached a fiduciary obligation to their own shareholders, their other shareholders, probably to the American people. I think I've heard that they pulled something like 18, the three guys pulled $18 billion in stock? Did you hear, Melody? Whether I don't know if that's the right number or not.
I didn't pull up the exact numbers.
Well, I don't know off the top, but it's not, they didn't, this isn't a question where they each sold $100,000 worth of stock. This is a significant stack of stock that got moved, and only after. They say it says Equifax said hackers breached the accounts between mid-May and July.
Yeah.
Okay. Potentially accessing information of 143 million Americans, including some accounts in of United Kingdom and Canadian residents. I mean, this was a significant breach, and it illustrates a theme that we talk about on this program on a fairly regular basis. You can't trust the internet. You can't trust this digital information. There is no such thing as security for digital information that's tangled up with the internet. It's not there. There are people going, oh, yeah, we're all secure. No, you're not. The hackers, you just haven't run into a hacker who's slick enough to penetrate your defenses yet, but you will. And your information is up there, folks. If it is, you know, you're vulnerable.
And this cracks me up. The president, Equifax's president, said, we had no knowledge that an intrusion had occurred.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, really? And the thing of it is, how many times have they sold shares since July? You know, they got caught this time, but how many times did they share? How did they do this before, you know, so anyway.
Well, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to invest in paper. And that's really, there's a certain amount of truth to that. That's a little bit amusing, but a little bit of truth also. The paper is a fraud. It's not a payment. It's a promise to pay. You know, if you really want to invest, do you want to save promises to pay, or do you want to save payments? If you want to save payments, get yourself some gold. If you believe what I'm saying, give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. We are out of time for today and for this week. We'll be back on Monday. We hope you'll tune in at that point. In the meantime,
be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. I had one email from a good listener, and I guess they're hunkered down. They're prepped. They're ready, and they're prepared. So be safe out there, folks.
Yep. All right. Well, in any case, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Payment sad. And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.